Oh, there we are. Okay, we got it now. Hey, everybody. Cheryl, how sweet are you? We are going to have fun. You're really, really sweet to give me such honorable mention. I see Debbie Took's in the room. Hey, Debbie. Debbie's another pool sister, so we're happy to see Debbie here. Okay. So here we go. Tom, take it away.
Okay, thank you, Jacqueline. Welcome home.
Thanks.
And we're here with Connie Poole, who was graciously holding the place in all of our steads last week. And she did a great job. Thank you, Connie. Connie's here too. Say
Hey, everybody. Thank you, Tom. You're very sweet.
And we finished up and we'll be starting at the beginning of page 85, but prior to anything, we're just going to do a quick prayer. And if you've been here before, you know the prayer is only for willingness. We pray for the willingness in all situations just to allow resistance to dissolve. And not challenge the truth so vehemently and violently, and let it set upon us in gracious willingness. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so Connie finished off at the bottom of page 84, and we'll continue at the top page 85.
Which is
Which is Mark chapter 7.
well, that's the top 85 would be Mark chapter 6.
Did I say 7?
Yeah.
Because I was thinking chapter 6, but I saw chapter 7 here, so I said 7. All right, chapter 6. Many worries and concerns swirled within Peter's mind, which was also filled with confusion and doubt. Peter sat down to practice as the master had taught them to practice. He looked at each thought that came into his mind and gave it to the Holy Spirit in faith for the purpose of healing. In this way, Peter cleared his mind of all the thoughts that had cluttered it and kept him restless, and peacefulness came over him.
Can I say something on that paragraph?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just want to say how cool it is because, you grow up reading the Bible and you think all these guys, they just like, I don't know, they woke up one morning and they were saints or they were born saints or whatever. But to hear that, that these guys are doing the same kind of practices that we're being taught to do, it's just really cool, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, and on top of that, when the first sentence says that, Peter's mind was filled with confusion and doubt. He's telling you right there that the ego has hold of him.
Right.
And then by the end of the sentence, by the end of the paragraph, he's saying, he's given these things over, and a peacefulness has come over him. Now he's with the Spirit.
Right.
Sweet.
And within that was the willingness to turn it over.
Yes, sir, buddy.
Can we ask for a sound check? Can they hear all three of us?
Are we being heard? Okay. Yep.
Perfect.
All we'll continue. As Peter sat quietly, enjoying all encompassing peace, he heard the voice of his master within his mind. Thinking this voice was his imagination, he willingly turned it over to the Holy Spirit for the purpose of healing. But the voice was given back to him. Peter, it is I. Peter rested quietly, clearing his mind of confusing thoughts as quickly as they seemed to come up. And it's just really something because this is really an intrusion on Peter's sense of reality. You think you're in this private mind. You have your private thoughts. You have your private world. You have your private perceptions. And all of a sudden, this voice, which you don't identify with as your voice, is speaking through that mind. And I've seen it in movies a lot of times when people's sense of reality is challenged, and people get so totally freaked out. It's like, oh my God, this is my reality.
Oops, that's my fault. I knocked this off. I apologize, you guys.
All right. For once, it wasn't my fault. All right.
We'll both have to journal about that comment later.
Yeah, we're gonna have to let those thoughts get those up, aren't we? Turn them over for clearing of the mind.
Yeah. So I'm gonna carry on with that. It's just really cool because again, Peter is faced with a choice of willingness or resistance. He turned it over to the Holy Spirit for the purpose of healing, but the voice was given back to him. So he willingly turned it over to the Holy Spirit, and it was returned to him. The voice came. So it's really like confirmation. And so it's really cool to see where something would be could be easily be perceived by the I thought as in this intrusion, this breach of one's reality. And Peter, because of the time, and obviously the time, if it had happened without the preparation, without all his practicing beforehand, I'm sure he would have run crazy with it. But he was prepared to receive it, so that when the voice comes upon us, we need to be prepared to hear it. We need to be prepared to hear that voice and not be fearful of it. And I'll carry on. I'll continue.
Okay.
Where was I? Peter rested.
19.
Okay. It is I, Peter. We are in meditation together as we are joined and one through our Holy Spirit. Come with me, Peter, one in our purpose and faith. Enjoy the love of our God, which is ourself. And again, a nice little synonym there, God and self being equal. And then Peter felt as if the Master and the Holy Spirit and the Lord together reached out and touched him within his mind. Peter basked in a glory and joy he had not known before. And again, it's just because of his willingness, because of the willingness to be still, to
Yeah.
trust.
Yeah, and I think he was in a state of bliss right there.
Yeah, right. Peter sat in peace on the deck until sunrise when the other apostles began to awaken. He was grateful for this experience given him by the Master from across the waters of the lake. The Master rested comfortably, gratefully pleased that he was guided lovingly in all things. Okay. Excuse me. I gotta say, I'm a little confused by that last sentence. The master rested comfortably. The master being Jesus, I would, or is the master
Yeah.
now in Peter? Is that, I'm not quite
No, I think
exact.
they're referring to Jesus.
Okay.
Because, well, so this is the whole thing where, well, Connie, you read last week, but this is the whole story where they're in the boat and everybody's freaked out, right? And so, and Peter is given solace. So he's looking at these confusion thoughts, and then Jesus comes to him in his mind. Right? So at one point he's talking about Jesus speaking to Peter in his own mind, and then that last portion is actually talking about Jesus, who is actually there.
Okay.
Right?
Well, it says he's across the waters.
Yeah.
He was grateful for this experience given him by the master from across the waters of the lake. The master rested comfortably, gratefully pleased that he was guided lovingly in all things. Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, Jesus. There's no conceit in the master going, yeah, I gave that to Peter.
Right. Okay.
I mean, he's just, you know, he's, it's acknowledging the experience, and he's just saying, you know, he's grateful and pleased and loving and
right.
All those nice things without taking any credit for Peter's spiritual experience.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Connie and Jacqueline. We'll continue with NTI, Mark chapter 7 at the bottom of page 85. Jesus gathered with the apostles and other disciples in a place outside Jerusalem. So it was easy for a group of Pharisees to come and see Jesus there. Some within the group of Pharisees were eager to hear Jesus' words and were open to them. Others hoped to discredit Jesus before his disciples. In this way, the mind of the Pharisees was split as they went to see Jesus. Therefore, what Jesus seemed to do that day was seen differently by different keepers of the law. And again, right there it says, in this way, the mind of the Pharisees was split as they went to see Jesus. And it's kind of like, any perceived individual being in a state of devotion in one moment and being in a state of doubt in another moment. So it's all, again, it's not to see these as different groups of people. It's to see the state of mind that is harbored within each of us.
Yes, it's symbolic, don't you think?
Right. Yes, definitely.
Yeah. What it reminds me of is how the Course talks about, you know, you send out, you send for the message that you want to receive. So you can send the, the dogs or the wolves or whatever it says, you know, out to bring you scraps of fear. And, you know, so if that's what you want to see, that's what you'll get back. If that's what you expect to see, that's what you get back. If you send out the messengers of love, you know, it's much lighter. And of course, that's what comes back to you. So that's what, you know, the Pharisees are going to see what they expect to see.
Right.
And so they're going to give different reports based on what they went with, the expectations they went in with.
Right.
Yes.
And it's basically what we go through in this process. It's each individual goes through periods of different states of mind, you know, states of gratitude and then states of projection.
Depending on whether you're in your right mind or not, right?
Right, depending on where your mind is at, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
In who we are, Cheryl says.
Okay, yeah. Thank you, Cheryl. We get very little graffiti.
Yeah, it's nice to see somebody type on the board. So thanks for participating, Cheryl.
Thank you. When one listens, it is the mind he listens with. So some of the Pharisees on this day heard Jesus speak of love and peace and of God as holy loving. A restfulness came over their hearts and a peace filled their minds as they became aware of the gloriousness within his words. Because of the split within the mind, other Pharisees seemed distracted by what was going on within the crowd. They seemed to notice every movement within the crowd, and they made judgments based on what they saw. They did not hear Jesus' words, the meaning of love, or the peace that was beyond the words. They were consumed with the I thought, They were consumed with their position. They were concerned with a threat, an apparent threat.
Yeah, and don't we all do that? I mean, I can't tell you. I mean, if things are going well with me and I'm in this loving spirit, nothing seems to bother me, but if I'm upset for any reason, then everybody's doing everything wrong. And they better stop it, right?
Knock it
Yeah.
off.
Right. And it's interesting because you never know when these states of mind will come upon you. I mean, we do our best to, to watch the mind, but there's no telling when these states of mind can come upon you. And it's not like there's any cause and effect. A lot of times we try to discriminate cause and effect in the onset of particular states of mind. But they've truly just kind of, they happen. It's kind of like Eckhart Tolle when he talks about the pain body. The pain body is just ready for a feeding. And you don't know when it's going to come upon you, but it's ready for a feeding and it will be fed. Unless, it's in our practice to recognize it and not identify with the feeding that's taking place or the feeding frenzy that is being called for.
Well, third paragraph.
Okay. The Pharisees who were not listening to Jesus were aware of many happenings, which the Pharisees who were listening were not aware of. Therefore, it was the Pharisees who were distracted that noticed some of Jesus's disciples ate without washing their hands. The Pharisees who listened with an open heart did not notice. So the Pharisees who were not listening to Jesus were aware of many happenings, all of them false. They were aware of all the falsities occurring. Why do your disciples eat without washing their hands? Asked the distracted Pharisees. This is against our tradition. Through this practice, they are made unclean. Doesn't this make them unfit for the worship of our Lord? And again, they're really hung up on the law. They're really hung up on the teachings of Moses and the fulfillment of the scriptures of Moses. And they're not, they have no recognition of a growth in consciousness. They think following these senseless and meaningless rituals is their ticket to heaven.
Yeah, and it's just, it's like Regina says, we're casters of attention,
Right.
So it's like, are we listening with an open heart? Are we making judgments? Are we stuck in the form? Are we
Right.
looking around us to see what's going on and missing, the forest for the trees?
Right. Yes. And that they're used to living by the law. They're so caught up in the law that they can't go beyond it. All eyes turned toward the Pharisees as if they had just entered the discussion from some other place of awareness.
Everybody else knew. Yeah.
Jesus peacefully arose and motioned toward all of the men as he spoke. Everyone is fit to worship our Lord. Every heart within the child of God is clean and free of every thought of uncleanliness. Nothing the child does can make him unclean, for the child inherits the cleanliness of the Father.
It's a really interesting way of putting that, it kind of sounds like he's using child of God, kind of like you'd say body of Christ or something like that, but to refer to them collectively as the child of God. I hadn't noticed that before, but it's really cool to do that. I mean, and that carries with it the idea that that there's an inherent innocence. And that there's nothing that needs to be done for innocence to be won, won, W-O-N, won. That that it's not earned. Children are innocent, so chill out, right?
Yeah, that talking about the child is his way of talking about grace.
Yeah. All right. Sweet.
So, everyone is fit to worship our Lord. Every heart within the child of God is clean and free of every thought of uncleanliness. Nothing the child does can make him unclean, for the child inherits the cleanliness of the Father.
Yeah, and as you just read that, what I was hearing was unworthiness and worthiness. So, yeah, that's sweet. So to continue, but Master, a disciple asked, surely a man who sins and breaks the law is unclean, and he must make a sacrifice to our Lord before he is permitted to worship him. Jesus looked at the disciple with a gentleness in his gaze. Nothing a man does can make him unclean, for his cleanliness comes from within, beyond the unclean thoughts. If a man believes the unclean thoughts within his mind, he will act on them. But if a man does not believe the unclean thoughts in his mind, he will not act on them. If a man has a choice about his thoughts, these thoughts cannot be the essence of the man, for no man has a choice regarding his essence. The essence of a man simply is, without his choice or his action. His essence cannot change, for his essence is given him by God. And for all the champions of free will, there is the free will, and there isn't. There's a contradiction in the spiritual, in the land where nothing is certain. There's free will and there is no free will, but there is no free will to choose your essence or dismiss your essence. There appears to be free will and choice regarding actions, whether you act on thoughts or whether you do not act on thoughts. But Jesus is going much beyond that. He is talking about the essence cannot change, for his essence is given him by God, and that basically, really, that's the that's how the Course in Miracles start, with that everything that's
nothing real can be threatened. Right. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God.
Right. All right.
Yeah. He goes on to speak about the essence some more.
Yeah. This essence of which I speak is within every man. Beneath the thoughts that seem to be clean or unclean. And again, it says seem to be clean or unclean. He doesn't say they are clean or unclean. And beyond the actions that seem to be clean or unclean. It is a man's essence that worships God. It is essence that defines who he is. Everyone who listened was amazed at Jesus' answer, but those who were not willing to listen thought he said nothing at all.
That's kind of like reading the Course, and you know, you haven't made it to that spot, and you you may put it down and say, oh, this is not sinking in right now. And the next time you come back and read it, you weep at what you just read. Mm-hmm. I mean, the true essence of it, the depth of it, grips your very being. And that's what you're able to hear when you're in your right state of mind.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Connie.
And Connie, maybe you want to sit on that side of the couch.
Bring it a little closer.
Yeah. Cheryl's asking us to move closer, but I think she was It says Jacqueline, but I'm just sure it's not me. It must be you. Mm-hmm. Cheryl also said, it's all about a perception. I only want to see the truth is my prayer. But yeah, I mean, I frankly had to read this two or three times. So I'm, you know, maybe I don't have the ears to hear. but the way I basically, what it seems to say to me is, again, that idea that, you know, there's nothing that you, it's the prodigal son. There's nothing that you can do. You can't err to take yourself out of God's graces, mm-hmm. nor is there anything that you can do to earn being within God's grace, right? Mm-hmm. You are what you are because of who you are,
right.
which is the child of God.
Yeah. A little poem comes to mind. There is nothing that you can do that can make me love you less, and there is nothing you do that can make me love you more. And that's just the essence. That's just there are no actions. Nothing ever, you know, there was nothing that ever occurred. There is no error. And it's just, it's the essence. And it's within each one of us right there. It's right in our face, but we dismiss it. So.
And I think you're right, Tom. I think, you know, in essence, what this does is this chronicalizes, maybe that's not the right word, but the original quote unquote sin where we thought we did something wrong, and the truth of it is, it seems like this has occurred, but it has not. We are who we are. We'll always be who we are, and that's just the Holy Son of God.
Yeah. Right. Beautiful. Thank you, Connie. All right, we're some nice little doodles there, and we're going to follow right underneath those. Jesus went away on a retreat that he may have some time in prayer and meditation with the Holy Spirit. But a woman ran across him there. She recognized the man, Jesus, because she had heard of him. And she knew this man before her was him. The woman fell to her knees before Jesus, torn between emotions of despair because of her problem and gratitude for finding Jesus there. She asked Jesus for his help. Her daughter seemed to be possessed of evil spirit. And again, I'm noticing more and more that all of this, there is so many times where it says seemed, it says apparent, you know, apparent, or you know, or appearance, and it's helpful to read that consciously, you know, the seemed, because there's so much seeming going on, so much mm-hmm. assuming. You know, there's so much that is assumed in this life, in this unconscious life that needs to be constantly brought to our attention, that it is just seeming so. Her daughter seemed to be possessed of evil spirit. The woman did not know what to do. She wanted her daughter healed so that the problem would go away. Jesus touched the woman on the top of the head and extended love to her. There was a time of silence between them. A shift occurred within the woman's mind. In Jesus's presence, she was aware of the presence of love. All that was not love seemed to fade from her awareness. She became aware that her concerns were not as serious as she had once thought. She looked at the master with openness in her heart. What words would you share with me? She asked. And I just want to go back a little bit to, there was a time of silence between them. That's at the second sentence in that paragraph. And so she saw Jesus. She had this seeming problem with her daughter. She wanted healed. And instead of besieging him with questions and pleas for healing, she had the willingness to be quiet, to be silent, and to receive in that silence. Because it says right after that, a shift occurred within the woman's mind.
I think they had a holy instant together, don't you?
Yeah, it was, and she.
Well, and frankly, she sounded hysterical to me when she approached, because she was going back and forth between, "Oh my God, it's so awful," and, "Oh Jesus, I actually found Jesus," right?
Right.
I mean, so I see her as a little bit hysterical. And then, he reached out to her, and then that time of silence did pass between them. So I think so what stood out for me was she came in with a really confused mind. She was absolutely being ruled by her emotions. And then Jesus, or being in Jesus' presence, helped her to quiet her mind where she could then begin to receive instruction.
Yeah, there's always, to me, there's always got to be the willingness,
Right,
you
right, right, right,
know.
right, right.
Yeah, but I see. Yeah, there was no question that Jesus, of course, brings that, like the power of the guru, you know,
Right.
has that grounding grace, where something you can return to the source.
That calming presence.
Yeah, right. So she asked, "What words would you share with me?" The master smiled at the woman, for she had come seeking healing for her daughter, but now she sought healing for herself.
She gave up her
Wow.
rejection for just a
Yeah,
minute and was able
right.
here.
Yeah. "Go to your daughter," Jesus answered, "and see that she is well. Extend love to her, as I have to you. Be patient with her, as I have been with you. Do not judge her, as I have not judged you. See that she is well, as I have seen that you are well. Let her come to know her state of wellness through your love, as you have come to know your state of wellness through mine."
Powerful shift,
Isn't that
powerful stuff.
beautiful?
That's right.
Wow.
He's talking about true empathy here,
Yeah,
right? Just
yeah.
hold the space for her.
All right.
It's all he's saying. Extend her love. The same thing that I've done here with you to calm your mind. If you can extend that same thing to your daughter, it will calm her mind, and you're not going to be whipping up this frenzy. You're not going to be projecting your frenzy onto her, right?
Right.
You're just going to be holding the space for her. And of course, we've learned that's what true empathy is.
Yes. Holding the space, yeah.
Knowing the truth.
Sure, yeah. The woman kissed Jesus' hands with gratitude and ran off to her home, eager to love her daughter as Jesus had loved her.
Sweet, sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, that is beautiful. This woman and her daughter were not Jewish, so this story has been mistold. The story was shared by word of mouth, beginning with the woman's telling of the story. But those who could not see without seeing differences could not hear the story without hearing differences within it. One listens with the mind that one seems to have, unless one is willing to lay that mind aside and listen with a new mind.
The whole Jewish thing is lost on me. I don't really know what's being said there, but
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I know that the Jewish history, there is a Jewish tradition. They call themselves the chosen people, and so anybody else being healed, or you know. It seems like they did, you know, they're, you know, calling people Gentiles or
Right.
a separation, you know,
Right.
and so it's hard to hear the differences or not to hear the differences. One listens with the mind that one seems to have unless one is willing to lay that mind aside and listen with a new mind. And it just repeated that.
I guess we need to hear it again.
Yeah. In Jesus' travels with the apostles. In Jesus' travels without the apostles, as they were out teaching and learning from the Holy Spirit, Jesus ran across a man who was hungry and sad and who begged for assistance from anyone who passed. Jesus sat with this man and communicated with him, although the man could not hear and could not speak. The man became joyous and filled with energy. His only thought was to extend communication, so he left the place where he had been sitting. Forgetting his hunger, he went into the town to extend communication. Jesus went off into a quiet place to do the same. And again, it's you see a little difference. This guy went into the town to extend communication. Jesus went off into a quiet place to do the same. So that's a nice little contrast. Yeah. Apparent contrast. Okay, chapter 8. When Jesus was joined together with his apostles again, a large crowd gathered with them. For by now, each of the apostles seemed to have followers of their own, and with each of them came even more. All of the people set up camp together, that they may learn together and celebrate together. It was a joyous gathering. The people were excited to hear the words of the Master Jesus.
They were joined in purpose, weren't they?
Yeah, and it's really cool because you could see the hunger and the thirst and the longing for the joining. Everybody thinking that, you know, they're this separate self. They have this sense of being separate and meager and lacking and minuscule and insignificant. But coming together, there's a celebration and there's joy. Jesus looked on the crowd and saw that they hungered for truth, but they believed the truth could be given them by a master who knew more of truth than they. Jesus wanted to teach them that the value they sought was found within the mind. So he proceeded to teach the crowd in this way. Jesus asked the apostles to gather all of the food that they had brought with them. When the food was gathered together, Jesus said a blessing over the food. He spoke loudly for all to hear, and he thanked the Heavenly Father for unlimited bounty. Then he asked the apostles to distribute the food evenly among all of the men who had gathered there. He asked the men to share the food with those who had come with them. The food was broken into very small pieces, not even large enough for one man to consider a bite, and these small pieces were passed out to be shared among the groups that had come with each man. When the food had been distributed, Jesus gave the instruction to eat. Everyone in the crowd did as Jesus asked. And then Jesus taught them. Every man and woman and child who is gathered here today has been given all that he needs in order to find the presence of our Father. Our Heavenly Father is not of this world, so he cannot be found in this world. Seek not in the world for our Lord. Seek not from men. Seek where this tiny morsel of food has gone. Let it be your guide. Follow it to the presence of the Father within, and let him guide you to the truth you seek. Truly I tell you, no one lacks the guidance of our Father, for everyone has been given the same. Then Jesus.
Can we just
yeah,
talk
sure.
about that for a minute? I mean, it's just really cool. Well, no, you know what? We're almost through. I'm going to let you go on and finish that.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's all right. Then Jesus led the people in a long period of prayer and meditation. Many came to discover the presence of the Father within as Jesus had instructed them.
Yeah. So it's just a really cool teaching technique. You know, they were all only given a morsel, but they were all given the same amount. You know, and it started out saying everybody there was like, oh, we're here to hear this great teacher. And he's like, you don't need a great teacher. All you got to do is look within. You know where that morsel of food just went? It went inside. That's where your teacher is. That's where you've got to look. And everybody has been given the same.
Right.
Yeah. So that it's just a really, you know, hands-on demonstrative way
yeah.
of teaching this teaching. And, you know, so we read about it 2,000 years later. We go, wow, what a miracle. He fed all these people. And this didn't say that, you know, like we're traditionally
yeah,
heard it, that it multiplied and there was some left over and they had
right.
to pick it all up afterward. You know, none of that. It was just like it was a very simple teaching
right.
tool to
yeah.
say, I don't hear guidance any more than you guys do. All you got to do is look within. You know, I don't have the ability any more than you guys do. All you got to do is look within. And
right.
nobody, and everybody's been given the same. So it's
yeah.
just really cool.
Yeah.
To hear that story told that way rather than this grand miracle,
right.
you know.
Yeah.
That, you know,
the grand
with
miracle of form.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like when it says, seek where this tiny morsel of food has gone. And I guess I'm going to get a little biological here, but everybody has the same capacity to digest that. We all have these exact same powers of digestion. So where this tiny morsel of food has gone, it's there is no knowledge of this digestion. There is no intelligence that it takes for you to digest your food. There's no attention. Ultimately, in the beginning, their attention is necessary, but there is no attention required to digest your food. It just is. It just happens.
Yeah, Cheryl says, I can't see it from here. Can you see it?
As it says, let him guide you to the truth you seek. Thank you, Cheryl. And we're at the top of page 90 with verse 14. Jesus was aware of doubts within the minds of the apostles, but the doubts did not concern him. Jesus' vision of the face of Christ was nearing its fullness, and his heart was filled with love and peace at all times.
I'm lost. Where are we?
At the top of page 90?
Thanks. I don't know. My page just got weird. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I like where it says, but the doubts did not concern him, because Jesus went through those doubts too. So he had the experience of doubts. So he was not concerned he knew that they would transcend these doubts. Okay, so we're at sentence 3. Yet he knew the apostles' doubts concerned them. For in their minds, they had given up much to follow Jesus. They sought fullness in faith that their choice had been the right one. So their doubts concerned them gravely.
That's great. You know, and I've been there, done that. You know,
right.
I feel like at least there was one point in my life where I felt like I had really given up everything. And so there was a real concern that the truth be true, because if it hadn't, I'd thrown away a career, a marriage, a house, a convertible. I mean, whatever. All
Cigarettes.
These things, right? Alcohol.
Right.
All these things that I had seemingly given up. It was very important that the truth be true.
Yeah.
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 So those underlying doubts come in as, oh my God, what if I've just been a fool and I've thrown it all away for nothing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is and one really can't, unless one is awaken suddenly, one can't help but seek expectations or have expectations, you know, and Those expectations, and that's when it starts to get even more subtle, the path, and learning to transcend expectations, and then your expectations somehow bear fruit. One night, Jesus spoke to the apostles about their doubt. He explained that, like the Pharisees who had questioned him, doubt could blind them to the reflection of light within their minds. But he also explained that their doubts did not take the light away. The light is always within you, Jesus explained. And like yeast that has been placed in flour, this light expands within your mind, even now as you doubt. And just it expands within your mind as you doubt. That everything is used. That it just to show that the doubt is just a stage, and we all, and in this process, we everybody goes through doubt, and the light expands within your mind even now as you doubt.
Yeah, I mean, you've started this process in action and you're not going to go back. You
Right.
can't go back once
Right.
you've had this awakening
Right.
to something beyond the apparent form of the world. Well, you know, once you've discovered that there is something beyond that, it will continue to expand. It's gonna grow organically even as you doubt. Yeah.
Right, despite your resistance and yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to grow.
Yeah. Those the Father has called to do his service will follow their call, like you just said, for they can do nothing else. The desire is strong within them, or they would not have heard the call. Let your doubts not concern you. They are merely fear, and fear is nothing, so it cannot hold you back. Look at your doubts and lay them aside, that you may continue the work your Father has called you to do.
And that's so sweet. That's so sweet because you can see, and you know, I went through this experience with Jacqueline when she was giving everything up, and had some of those same experiences that maybe at a little later time, but when yeah, there's a lot of doubt, and as a result, there's a lot of fear, like Jacqueline was saying, oh my God, what have I given up? And he's saying, okay, your fear is going to be there, but you know, it's merely fear and it's nothing, and it can't hold you back. And don't let the fear, no, you know it's just a natural part of most of our process. It's something that we're all may experience because of our doubt and our concern, but it doesn't have to be crippling if you're aware that it is a natural part of the resistance and letting it go.
Right.
And I've seen it and seen it where it grips you, and if you don't know that it's a natural part, it's even more fearful.
Right. Yeah, and it's great to hear from the master
Yeah, it's just real sweet
that
and
it's
gentle
yeah,
here, isn't it?
don't
Yeah.
everything's cool, man. You know? Yeah. That's really great.
Through 26, the last paragraph.
Oh, thanks. Everywhere Jesus went, he helped people to see differently. As he taught with joy, touching many people, the apostles began to see differently too. More and more, the apostles began to seek private counsel with Jesus to discuss their fears and doubts. Jesus responded lovingly with every discussion that was brought to him. Never did the apostles feel judged. Increasingly, they became aware of a new sight, a way of seeing the world that they hadn't known before. As this new site filled their hearts with joy, they became increasingly committed to doing the work of their father. And again, it's increasingly they became aware of a new sight, a way of seeing the world that they hadn't known before. And it kind of reminds me of Jan Fraser's book, When Fear Falls Away. Because to look at the world without fear, it's entirely fresh. It's new. It's busting out of prison, and it's just I have to imagine it's just incredibly liberating, and fear. Jesus says, fear, they are merely fear, and fear is nothing, so it cannot hold you back. And fear only comes to fear. Fear only comes to that which it can be attached to, that which will recognize it. And the apostles now are becoming to be liberated, and they, it reminds me of this, sentence in the Bible where Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh and find nothing within me. That means there's nothing within me which he can attach to. There's no attachment, that there's nowhere for him, for the prince of this world to grab onto, to navigate this vessel. And so the time came that Jesus again talked to the apostles about their doubts. Who do people say I am? Jesus asked. The apostles answered with rumors they had heard while teaching. There were many perspectives among the people, but no one seemed to know the truth. And who do you say I am? Asked Jesus. A great teacher, answered Thomas quickly, a master in the service of our Lord. Peter, Jesus asked, and you? And you? There's no question mark there. Who do you say I am, Peter? Peter was quiet for a moment before answering, reflecting upon the answer that had been given him in his mind. You are me, Master, the Son of God, the Christ. You are one who has learned this awareness, and so you share it with us, as Thomas has pointed out. That's cool, that way he gives Thomas a little... that's really sweet, because Thomas really, that wasn't what Thomas was saying, but
Thomas was wrong.
Well, yeah, but he was partially, you know. Jesus smiled. This you did not learn from men, Peter. This you learned from the voice of our Lord within. In trusting this voice, you have shared a great truth.
Yeah, you can just feel the truth in Peter's answer.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Peter is becoming really very clear. The dissolving of the I thought is really transpiring in Peter. And,
yeah, he's had an experience with Holy Spirit.
Right.
Just earlier. Yeah.
Right.
With the with the storm on the water when Jesus came to him in his mind.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Jesus spoke to all of the apostles. The voice within will lead you clearly when you give it your trust and put your doubts aside. It will reveal truths to you that you have not imagined, and so you will know they are true. You have not imagined, and so you will know they are true. They are not the thinking mind. They are not imaginary. They are no images. They cannot be described with images, and words are images. So reveal truths to you that you have not imagined, and so you'll know they are true. The certainty comes upon you. And even as this voice speaks, you may hear another voice that brings doubt and fear. Place that voice aside, for the voice of fear will cloud the vision of light and hide that light from you. But when the voice of fear is let go, the light will shine to place heaven within your sight.
Yeah, so he even seems to be talking about the miracle here, in that the Course talks about, in order to have the experience of a miracle, even for a moment, you have to let the fear lay it aside in order to have a miraculous experience.
Right.
Yeah, and it's really interesting how he describes the voice of inner wisdom, intuition, the Holy Spirit. Regina, in her tips for this week for consistent gentle healing, talks about how the Holy Spirit is not the thoughts within your mind. You know, it's not the words you think, or even if you do like Temple Grandin and think through pictures, it's not those things.
Mm,
right?
Right.
And here he's saying exactly that, which is really cool. It's a good place to end.
Yeah.
And we're right up against the time here. But yeah, so it will reveal truths to you that you have not imagined. So
right.
You know that they are true. It comes from beyond your
right.
limited understanding, your limited knowledge, what you might say, how you might solve the problem.
Right.
Right? It comes without your baggage.
Right.
And that's how you know it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. To me, it's we think we have to live life, and it's really about for me, from what I see, it is allow life to live life. Life knows what it's doing. It doesn't need the commentary. It doesn't need the opinions. All that commentary going on, and should have and could have and what might have been. So anyway, we're gonna finish up here. We've got a few seconds, and we're just gonna say goodbye and thank you for joining us. Oh, I was going by.
Yeah, I think it's the clock on the.
All right,
I think
folks,
we're done.
We appreciate you spending time with us, and we'll see you next week.
We're thrilled to be here with you guys. Thanks for letting us share. Connie
bye.
Says bye.
Bye.
Hit that one.
Just hit that.